So, what's trending? Bridging your Catholic faith with your everyday life. You're listening to Trending with Timory on Relevant Radio.
Welcome to our weekly happy hour here on Trending. So much to talk about, but what's getting in the way of your happiness? Do you ever think about this? I also have a question. If you've perhaps grew up Catholic and then reverted back to your Catholic faith, or you're a convert to the Catholic faith, why did you quit Catholicism to begin with? What did you think would make you happier in your search for happiness and ultimately joy? If you're new to our weekly happy hour, it's every Monday, and we tell you to pull up a drink, pull up a chair, and to discuss happiness and ultimately orienting ourselves toward the virtue of joy. What gets in the way of your happiness? Number's 1-888-914-9149. I would love to hear from you. You can always comment on my Instagram story or send me a message on social media. Find me at Timory, that's T-I-M-M-E-R-I-E, to share your thoughts live during the show. Also, I want to talk about joy activities. Have you ever heard of these? It's sort of what inspires you and makes you happy that you wish you did every day. I don't know. Maybe it's carving wood. Maybe it's going rollerblading. Maybe it's hiking a mountain. Maybe it's ice fishing. Whatever it is for you, we'll talk about that and why these are actually important, but better than the idea of what motivates you. There's a difference between what motivates you and then what actually inspires you and brings you good joy, true joy. Have you ever thought about that? Also today, we're going to discuss the difficult decision all of us have to make, and that is, how do we choose God over our own comfort? It's pretty hard day to day. I don't know about you, but I struggle with this daily, if we're real about this. Also, letting go of the cancel culture that is real, pervasive, and coming after you, perhaps. But first, what gets in the way of your happiness? If you have a thought, it's Monday, maybe you've kicked off the week, and here you are, lo and behold, again on Monday. Feeling bitter, sick of your job, starting the week tired, feeling depressed, lonely, already looking ahead to the holiday season with a lot of trepidation. Why? What's getting in the way? I'd love to hear from you. The number's 1-888-914-9149. Let's talk about this, because so many people will give me reasons for why they're unhappy. Now, these top two, I'm a mom, I totally get. Tired, hungry. Yep, all the time. Nursing, always hungry. Yep, up really early. Luckily, not throughout the night anymore. That child of mine is trained. She sleeps 12 straight hours. If only I could go to bed when she goes to bed. But also, it's not just tired and hungry, which, by the way, are fixable things. You're tired, get more sleep. Oh, but okay, stop with the excuses. Get more sleep. I make the same excuses. You're grumpy because you're hungry. It's called hangry. It's called hangry, okay? Let's be real. I suffer from it. Raise your hand. I know a lot of people who legitimately suffer from this, but they deny it. Okay, Patrick and Lucas get hangry too. I didn't know this. Interesting. Now I know. Just put a piece of cake in front of you. No, do not put the piece of cake in front of you, unless it's Lucas's birthday, which, by the way, shout out to our producer, Lucas, here on Trending. It is his birthday. We won't ask how old he is, but fun fact, this is how I remember it's his birthday, because he shares a birthday with my favorite, and that is St. Alphonsus Liguori. Pretty awesome birthday to share. Okay, so what else gets in the way of our happiness? We're tired, we're hungry, let's see, we're lonely, we're jealous, we're comparing ourselves to others and what they have, we're afraid, nervous, broke, angry, self-occupied, in our own heads. Guess what? Every single one of these things I just listed, and I started with tired and hungry for a reason, because we understand that being tired and hungry is fixable, even if there are excuses. But all the other things, we're like, but I can't fix that. You're lonely? That's fixable. You're jealous? Yes, that's fixable. Afraid? Fixable. Nervous? Fixable. Broke? Fixable. Angry? Self-occupied? In your own head? All of these things are fixable, yet for some reason, all of these things are what we actually use as examples for why we're not happy. Or perhaps you just said, I've been canceled for being pro-life. Maybe it's a family member. Katie just said that on Instagram. I have been canceled for being pro-life. That's another reason why perhaps you could be unhappy. Because maybe it's a loved one, a friend, someone who disagrees with you so radically because of what's happening in the culture right now that they have taken it upon themselves to cancel you from their life, from social media. Maybe you've been blocked. You know, I think being blocked really isn't the worst thing. You know, I am a millennial and I did grow up with social media, and some people obsessively check their social media accounts. Like, okay, I had 221 followers yesterday and today I have 219. Who deleted me? And then they go on a witch hunt to figure out who those two people were. But let's be real. If you have 221 followers, do you really know who all 221 are? Okay, maybe if you only have like 15. By the way, that's really funny. There was a social media program. I don't remember what it was called. Something like 10 years ago. It came out and the whole idea was you really can't be that close to more than about 25 people. So they created a social media account. And that social media account was only meant to be for 15 or 25 people. Let's just say it didn't work. Why? Because the reality is that we are so addicted to social media that we need it to try and help us to define our happiness. Not enough people liked my social media posts, liked my photo, not enough people commented or shared. All of these are reasons that we make up in our own head, even if we don't say it to someone else, for why we are unhappy. That's why we're talking about it today. Now, all of this has a solution. You know why? Because each and every single one of these things, as I mentioned, are things that we can get out of. They're all, many of them, feelings or circumstances that are changeable. I was reading the Gospel according to Matthew this morning. And one of the things I've been doing the last week has been, I've been going to all, starting at the beginning of Matthew. And in the morning, my morning meditation has been, where does Jesus speak in sacred scripture? Took a couple chapters into Matthew to see where Jesus actually spoke for the first time. And I'm working through just where he spoke. And where I'm at right now was Jesus was baptized. I just started this a couple days ago. He was baptized. And then right after his baptism, he goes into the desert for 40 days. Now notice, of course, he's receiving the baptism from John the Baptist, which would be the idea is a baptism of repentance, right? Now, that being said, at his baptism, God, in a heavenly cloud with the Holy Spirit, says, "This is my beloved Son." His mission has been blessed by God. He has the life of grace within him, one, because he's God, but two, because God literally just acknowledged him as his son. But just because Jesus had the grace of Christ, the grace of his heavenly Father within him, that didn't mean he was ready, even as God, to confront the temptation he himself would experience. Think about the temptations we all face. To be tired and not do something about it, to be hungry and not do something about it, and become hangry and mean, to be lonely and just kind of sit there and ruminate in our loneliness, jealousy, fear, nervousness, brokenness, angry, being self-occupied in our own head, any number of things that we can experience. They're all temptations for us to just stay in. Okay, yeah, but Timmy, I'm broke. I'm X so much money, much in debt, or I'm trying to provide for my family. It's hard. Yeah, okay, get a second job. Okay, do what you have to in order to provide for your family. Is that easy? No, but the temptation is what? There's that famous quote I have said so many times in the last week and over again here on the show. Pope Emeritus Benedict XVI said, "The world offers you comfort. You were not made for comfort. You're made for greatness." The world offers you comfort. You were not made for comfort. You're made for greatness. What's your reason for being unhappy? And Katie Howe just commented on Instagram. She was canceled for being pro-life, and yes, by her own family. Sometimes it's comfortable, even within our own families, to be silent. And to not endure the disagreements that come from telling the truth, from doing what's right. And ultimately, here's a surprising thing. Sometimes years later, our family members will know that we're the one who they can come back to. We're the one who's been consistent, unwavering. So what does this have to do with after Jesus' baptism? He goes into the desert for 40 days. There he's prepared, and he is actually, when he's in the desert, I want to argue that he's being detached from everything in his humanity. Because God, in his divinity, doesn't need to be detached from anything. He has perfect relationships with all created things. But in his humanity, he had to have that level of detachment. And so what had to happen? He had to be tempted. So what happens? 40 days and 40 nights, Jesus Christ is in the desert. He eats nothing. The very first temptation that the devil offers him there in the desert is what? Matthew chapter 4. The devil tries to convince Jesus to make a couple of loaves of bread. Come on, that's all. Just eat a couple loaves of bread. Not only can you make them, because the devil is testing Jesus because he's not really sure if Jesus is God. So he's being very coy. Just make a couple of loaves of bread. You can do this. You're all powerful. Jesus' response to the devil is this. He quotes the Old Testament. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So the first temptation that Jesus receives from the devil, he says, I know sacred scripture. I have the words of God within me. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. What's significant about this? Well, one, he's not tempted by a momentary hunger. He's not tempted by the momentary tiredness or even loneliness and isolation that can make him feel really good, honestly, to just make a loaf of bread. Let's be real. This is what everyone did during COVID and the lockdown. Everyone started making bread. It made him feel better. We were tempted. We gave into making bread. Did I make bread? I mean, I have made bread. But I don't know if I didn't jump on the bandwagon. Actually, a friend of mine, oh my gosh, God bless her. She was making gluten-free sourdough bread left and right and kept feeding me them, the rolls and the bread loaves while I was pregnant. It was awesome. Okay, so what did God do? Jesus Christ himself said, you cannot live on bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. What's significant about this? Jesus Christ himself quoted the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit-inspired scriptures, to combat temptation in his own life. He combats the first temptation with the word of sacred scripture. This is also significant to me because I think I told you I'm going through Matthew and starting to read and focus and meditate on just the moments where Jesus himself speaks. And then here, one of the first things I read, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God, that is what we need in order to combat temptation. Okay, so then the second time the devil comes to Jesus in the desert, he's basically saying, okay, worship me. I'll give you everything if you'll just worship me. I'm going to show you everything in the world. Worship me. I'll give it all to you. And then Jesus responds again with a quote from sacred scripture. It is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. So he just rebuked an idol in his own life, what could become an idol. So yet again, he depended on memorization of sacred scripture to combat another temptation. And what did he do? Putting God first and foremost. And that was actually the third temptation. I missed the second temptation. The second temptation is Jesus is told by the devil, look, just jump off this cliff. Save yourself. Your angels can save you. Why not? Just jump off. Isn't this similar at all to the temptation of the culture? I'm going to alleviate all of my pain and suffering through suicide. Think about it. That's in a sense what this is. Now, the devil was saying, well, but Jesus, you know what? You know the angels can save you. You know, it's interesting. The devil was trying to convince Jesus to die sooner and in a different way. If Jesus died in such a way, would there have been the proper life-giving, self-giving love of the cross? No, there wouldn't be. Jesus rebukes the devil again, denies the temptation. And he quotes sacred scripture again, saying, it is written, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. Again, this is from the Old Testament. You see, Jesus Christ himself had committed to memory sacred scripture that helped him in battling temptation. Why do I give this as an example during our weekly happy hour? I love how we like turn to the cross, we turn to suffering, we turn to 40 days of prayer and fasting in the desert of Jesus Christ, the very first thing he did after being baptized. And he's tempted intensely. And yet what he uses to combat all of that temptation is the Word of God, the Old Testament, the inspired Word of God. This is a powerful, powerful reminder for you and I what we need to do to overcome those feelings of exhaustion, hunger, loneliness, jealousy, fear, nervousness, brokenness, anger, self-occupied, being in your own head, whatever circumstance or temptation or feeling we're experiencing. We're called to that virtue that we talked all about last week here on the show. Fortitude, to persevere in our Lord Jesus Christ. How do we do that? Number one, what did we learn from this story? Do we know the Word of God? Can I pray with Scripture without my Bible? Because I have some Bible verses, and not just verses, but whole passages memorized. When tempted, when sorrowful, when angry, when just sitting there delighting, am I able to bring to the forefront of my lips the words of sacred scripture from memory? Canticles, songs, even just the Magnificat of Our Lady. This is a challenge for us. A great place to start is the Magnificat of Mary. A great place to start is to memorize scripture through memorizing even the Angelus, praying it at 6 a.m., noon, and 6 p.m. I love it. Where I live, I can hear the church bells from our church nearby. I can actually see a church from out my window. And the bells ring on every single hour. The bells also ring. They clang really loud as a reminder to get to church just a few minutes before every Mass. And they continue to ring for a time during every single consecration of our Lord Jesus Christ in the Eucharist. Why do I bring this up? Because when I hear those bells, especially at 6, noon, and 6, I'm reminded in that moment, that's an opportunity. That's an opportunity to pray the Angelus, the words of sacred scripture, the inspired words of God, the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, even within Our Lady, to make her fiat, be it done unto me according to thy word, back to the Archangel Gabriel. Are we able to conform ourselves through the memory of sacred scripture, the living out of the word of God, to battle temptation in our lives? Number two, we have to remember that sin, we can't sin just assuming God will fix everything. God can heal and forgive anything, but that's an intentional sin. When we sin, knowing, well, God can forgive me. That's us going into it. I know this is wrong, but I'm going to do it anyways. Why do I bring this up? Because sometimes we sit here and just like simmer in our own jealousy. Like, yeah, I know I'm jealous right now, but that's okay. I really can't stand that person. Yes, I know I'm broke right now, but that's okay. You know, not providing for my family or not paying off my debt. That's okay. You know, we make excuses and we say, I'm tired. But I'm doing, quote, the best I can. I think a lot of us think we're doing the best we can. I don't know about you, but I can do a whole lot more better, right? All of this is relevant in the culture we live in to combat this pervasive nervousness and all of these fears and circumstances that are changeable, to choose to overcome the temptation that's getting in the way of our happiness. And I just want to comment one more time. You wrote to me on Instagram. One of you is commenting now. I just lost the comment. Why are you unhappy? Your family canceled you for being pro-life. Well, I think that this is a really great example of what's happening in the culture. And we're going to touch on the cancel culture in just a few minutes about how, why we can't let the cancel culture make us unhappy. If you'd like to share your thoughts, you can give me a call. The number is 1-888-914-9149. You can also reach out to me on Instagram. Just go ahead and make a comment on the video. I'll be right back, and we're going to come back. We'll talk about the cancel culture. We'll also discuss, what are your joy activities? What inspires you? What makes you happier? Are they things that motivate you, or are they things that inspire you? Should motivation make us happier? We'll talk about that and more here on the show as we continue our weekly happy hour. Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio Studio Line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/forester.
Bridging your Catholic faith with your everyday life. You're listening to Trending with Timory on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Did you leave the Catholic Church and then come back? If so, why did you leave, and what did you think would make you happier? I'd love to hear from you. The number is 1-888-914-9149. We're going to discuss letting go of the cancel culture. We'll also discuss letting go of our comfort and choosing God, because you're joining us during our weekly happy hour. It's all about what will help us overcome ourselves, our temptations, our sorrows, our depression, our circumstances that we tend to get stuck in. So here's the question. What inspires you? Now, should you look for inspiration, or should you look for motivation? I think these are really, really good questions. If you'd like to join the conversation, the number is 1-888-914-9149, or you can ask your question live on Instagram as well. I'd love to hear from you and answer your question during the show, during our weekly happy hour. Okay, so I am going to be in a wedding in a couple of weeks. And the last week or two, I found myself derma rolling. Now, if you don't know what derma rolling is, okay, Lucas and Patrick, just wait, what? What? They made these faces at me like, do I want to know what derma rolling is? Have you heard of microneedling, gentlemen? Microneedling? No, not heard of microneedling? Okay, it's this roller, this little like roller kind of wheel. You got this stick and you got a wheel at the end of it. And it's got a bunch of needles in it. And you rub it all over your face up and down. My Patrick's face, yes. You rub all over your face up and down, horizontal, then vertical, diagonal one way, and then diagonal the other way, okay? Now, the whole idea of torturing yourself with these little micro needles all over your face, it's not shaving. It's literally poking little holes in your skin. Now, your skin could actually bleed. Your skin may bleed, and for some people, that's the whole point. You really want to, like, make it work. Now, the holes are so small that, like, the next morning, you won't be able to tell that you're bleeding. But here's the deal. Here's what happens when you microneedle. It activates collagen within your skin, and so it rejuvenates and heals. So if you have acne, if you have scarring, if you have saggy skin, if you have wrinkles, redness, sunspots, all of this, it helps to treat. In other words, it's like the poor man's version of like getting a really good like facial that might like cause your skin to peel, but it's even better because it's activating your own collagen. So it might sound crazy. You're like, that is insane. You're literally causing your face to bleed. It can be like kind of painful if you've not done it in a while. It's kind of like plucking your eyebrows. Like if it's really cold, it hurts more. Or if you've just not done it in a while, it hurts. Okay, so microderma needling. I've been doing this. Why am I doing this? Well, because I'm going to be in a wedding in 2 weeks, and I'm like, I want my skin to look a little better, especially because I have a lot of scarring on like the sides of my face from a lot of like my acne that was really bad from my polycystic ovarian syndrome and from my food allergies. I would get these like cystic boils practically on my face that were terrible. It wasn't actual acne. I thought I had bad acne. That's not what it was. Anyways, I've got scarring, so I like want my skin to look a little perkier than usual, because you know, you're in these like photos when you're in a wedding or various events, and these like high definition photos, right? And so like it gets really in there on your scars. Anyways, I was thinking about it last night as I'm literally rolling this derma roller all over my face. Again, little prickly needles. And I was thinking, okay, I'm motivated by this wedding to do this derma rolling, right? It's a motivation. It's something that's getting me to do something that, I mean, I'm not going to say it's objectively good. It's just helping me to make my skin look better. But what's the difference between motivation and inspiration? I would say motivation would be something like being in a wedding and you want your skin to look nice. Or being in a wedding and let's say, you know, you're motivated to lose weight for the sake of fitting in your dress. Those are, I think, some examples of motivation. Inspiration is different. First of all, the word is just better. Inspiration means to be in the spirit. Now, inspiration, do we want to be in the spirit of God or do we want to be in the spirit of whatever is the spirit of the culture? The spirit of whatever's going on. Do we want to be in good spirits? All of these are good questions. So ultimately, I would argue we want to be inspired because we want to be inspired by activities that are food for the soul. So rather than being, for example, and motivated to get things done because I want to look good for a wedding, I should make sure that in day-to-day life, having nothing to do with being in a wedding, I should be engaging in activities that bring me joy. Now, I gave a really simple example because a lot of us tend to go chasing things that motivate us for temporary motivation, short-term benefits, such as being in a wedding or running a 5K, whatever it might be. And we think and perceive that these things are going to make us happy, but it's not really the looking good for photos or achieving that run in and of itself that brings us happiness. We have to have things day to day that help solidify us, help us to maintain as the days and years go on. Because otherwise, this being in a wedding motivation to make my skin look good, make sure I fit in my dress and all these things, it's false because it's motivation for a perceived type of happiness. I'll be because I fit in my dress, or I'll be happy because the scarring on my skin isn't so bad. But we need to turn more so to being inspired, not turning to superficial demands and external demands that are placed on us, again, such as being in the wedding, being skittier, whatever it might be. What should inspire us? Things that make us feel at peace. Things that we delight in. Not just want to achieve to have that check mark, such as a run. Things that have to do with the gifts and even desires. Desires aren't bad, but desires that are fall under reason. Desires that we have, because all of us have different desires. And some of our desires, a lot of our desires are actually good if they're in conversation and subjected to reason. We also want to engage in activities that free us up to think and have clarity, that reduce our anxiety, that give us energy, that make us feel rested. Activities that actually lead us to an act of prayer. What are all of these things? What should these things be? They should ultimately be food for the soul. Things that actually allow us to be restored in God, to better understand ourselves, to feel more in touch with ourselves. So my question for you, and maybe you want to share, I'd love to hear from you. You can comment live on Instagram or you can go ahead and give me a call. The number is 1-888-914-9149. I'd love to hear your thoughts and share them during the show. So here's what inspires me. Here are my kind of joy activities. I like to refer to these as joy activities. And I've shared them before. Number one, I love being outside. Now, when I say outside, it needs to be, you know, a nice landscape, you know, whether it's just out hiking, sitting out in the sun, looking at the beautiful trees or plants, getting that fresh air, feeling the breeze on my face. All of this, I feel energized, motivated, rested, I'm able to calm my mind. I'm at peace. I'm able to slow down from the fast-paced life that we live. Another one is I love to read. Now, this could be anything from mystery novels to theology, philosophy. Could be a meditation. Right now I'm meditating while going to the Blessed Sacrament on the visits to the Eucharist by St. Alphonsus Liguori. It's visits, I think, to the Blessed Sacrament and to Our Lady is the name of it. Fantastic. They're short little meditations if you want some juice for when you go to adoration or for a holy hour. The third thing is exercise. Exercise dance. It's been a huge thing for me. I grew up dancing my whole life. Ballet, tap, jazz, West Coast swing, all sorts of ballroom. And believe it or not, I hip-hop danced and even took break dancing classes for a few years. Fun fact. Yes, I did. In fact, a lot of people didn't know that. And it was funny because my brother and sister-in-law were here a couple weeks ago with their kids. And we don't have a TV. So they're like, what do we do with our kids at your house? There's no TV. You know, it's kind of just like one of those moments of like, we're all just sitting here. You don't really have kids toys for my kids either. And I was like, well, come on, let's sit on the floor. I'm like, I can stand on my head and I can't do this well, but I can do it. I can like spin once, maybe twice on my head and like still stay balanced. I can hit a breaker pose. Anyways, dancing has always been something really fun. I love the challenge, the control that's necessary, the movement, the growth, the change that can occur within the body to grow and develop and be stronger in certain areas. I love it. It's motivating for me. And this is where, you know, teaching Pilates and exercising, all of that falls in. If I could, I would be taking dance classes every day. But these are all my joy activities. Outdoors, reading, and exercise, also dance. What are your joy activities? I want to encourage you to discover what they are and be able to list three. And have these three things be things that you turn to regularly, if not daily. I try to make sure I spend time outside, that I read, and that I at least exercise every single day because these literally make me a better person. These inspire me to pray. These give me more energy, help me to be more at peace, be a better wife, because they're all things that allow me to grow, to self-reflect and not self-obsess. They're not wrong motivations. Like a lot of us can have a motivation of, I'll feel better if I just lose that weight to fit in this dress for a wedding coming up. That's great. That's a motivation. But it's not inspiration. It's not something that's going to inspire you upward and make you better. You see, motivation turns us inward and actually usually makes us aggressive. Inspiration takes us upward. It makes us better. It actually orients us in a better way to other people. So I'd encourage you, be able to list your three things, your inspiration activities that will truly make you a happier person. You're listening to Trending with Tim Ray here on Relevant Radio. Why did you quit the Catholic Church and how can we let go of the cancel culture? That and more here on the show, but let's talk about this first. Why did you quit the Catholic Church? Maybe you want to share your reason why. Someone shared a reason with me the other day that was fascinating. Fascinating. I was talking to this woman and she shared that she was a revert to the Catholic faith. Now she was like really, really, really taking her faith seriously now. Raising her kids, she'd been back in the church, her husband had converted to Catholicism. They were in just such a great place in their marriage as parents. I'm not saying everything was perfect. For some reason, you know, people think that when people of faith, they're like, yeah, things are great. That means that everything's perfect. Everything's easy. It's not the case. Our faith is what allows us to endure. Our faith is what brings us joy in the sorrowful moments, the difficult moments, and those happy moments. But here's what this woman said. She grew up Catholic, went to Catholic school, and when she was 13 years old, you get this, a teacher told her that French kissing was a sin. She was 13. She thought, well, I can't live without that, so I'm done with the church. She literally quit the church at 13 because a teacher told her that French kissing was a sin. Now, she was just about red as could be in her face because she was so mortified even sharing that out loud, but that's just where she was at. She literally stopped going to church, didn't mean anything when she was saying her prayers, fought her parents on religion. Because she was told by a teacher that French kissing is a sin. Now, I don't want to get into the whole French kissing side of things. Is French kissing sinful? Yeah, it actually is going too far in the sense that, and people be like, wait, hold on a second. French kissing usually leads us to a state where our bodies are so stimulated and so desirous of the other person that it is orienting ourselves to an even greater new occasion of sin, and usually putting us in that circumstance. Not only that, the lack of self-control, the lack of moderation, the lack of patience and self-giving love for a person that we can prepare ourselves to marry. Now, did a lot of us French kiss when we wish we hadn't, or if we'd known or hadn't known? Sure. But that aside, what was significant about this story? She thought that if she had French kissing in her life, she would be happier than if she was Catholic and didn't. And this is why she left the church. Usually when we leave the church, it has to do with reasons that we perceive will make us happier. In fact, calling now from Palm Beach, Florida is Jim. Jim, you're coming back to the church because of Relevant Radio. Praise the Lord. If you could share with us, why did you stop going to the church? What did you think would make you happier?
Well, I stopped when I didn't have to go anymore, I guess, what it comes down to. Around eighth grade, seventh, eighth grade, I had to go to catechism classes every Saturday. I went to public school, but my parents made me go to catechism every Saturday.
You didn't like being made too.
And the nuns, I mean, I don't want to speak bad about them, but they were horrendous. I was learning nothing. They were horrible. We had one period where it was a year or two, where we went to the monks at a place called Lincoln Hall, and they were the greatest. They talked to us. They got me into it and everything because they talked to me, not at me. If you understand the difference.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. So you left the church because it wasn't a requirement. You thought you'd be happier not having to go to the forced catechism classes, the negative experience you had with the nuns. I think this is a really great example, Jim, that you stopped going to church when you didn't have to anymore. You know, we think that we'd be happier because we're not doing something that we thought we were, quote, forced to do. And maybe you're listening right now, you're kind of thinking, oh, I'm thinking about the Catholic faith again. Oh, good. It needs to be your choice. But sometimes the challenge is that we live in a culture where we think that if we're no longer obligated to do something, we'll like it more. And this is something we have to get over. Obligation in our culture today means something negative. Rather than thinking about the word of saying, I'm much obliged to do that. Like, yes, I am in a sense obligated, but I'm much obliged. I'd be glad to do it. I'm obliged in a good way. I'm going to do it with a skip in my step to move forward. Even if it's difficult, I'm willing. And I'm willing as an act of love. I'm willing through a choice. So what do you think that, then bring this more relevant to many of us. Maybe you're practicing the Catholic faith and you didn't leave the Catholic Church, but you're struggling with X, Y, and Z sin. What about that sin do you think would make you happier that is preventing you from remaining in a state of grace, from overcoming that sin, from saying, no, thank you, no more? You see, this is the challenge. We have to grow to love God and appreciate our faith so much that we are literally willing to lay down and sacrifice our own desires on the altar every single Sunday when we go to church. Our disordered desires. This is why I laugh. Why did that girl say she quit the Catholic Church? She was 13 years old and her teacher told her that French kissing was a sin. So she quit. No more. I'm done. But think about, in the opposite regard, if she understood the beauty of moderation, self-control, patience, waiting for marriage, you know, that would help prevent her from putting herself in trying circumstances that would lead her ultimately to doing more things with her body that she wishes she didn't prior to marriage. This is why it's so important that we have a life of grace within us, that we understand that we are children of God and that God loves us with unconditional love. There's no sin that we can commit that would take us so far away from him that we can't come back, other than rejecting his forgiveness. Rejecting his forgiveness, never turning back. Completely rejecting God. And I think it's so important that we remember this. You're listening to Trending with Tim Ray during our weekly happy hour here on Trending. We're going to come back talking about letting go of the cancel culture to move on, be happy, and also how do we choose God instead of our own comfort.
So, what's trending? Bridging your Catholic faith with your everyday life. You're listening to Trending with Timory on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Okay, the cancel culture. I was on morning air here on Relevant Radio this morning. I did an interview. You can listen to the interview. Just head over to relevantradio.com. Check out the morning air page. But we're talking about the cancel culture. Now, everyone from Johnny Depp to you name it are discussing the cancel culture, which I find it really fascinating that Johnny Depp was talking about the cancel culture. And just a little taste of why he was talking about this, his ex-wife, who allegedly, and apparently there's some legitimacy to this, was a wife beater, like actually like was known to have engaged in domestic abuse. His wife ended up writing, ex-wife ended up writing an op-ed for, I think it was the Washington Post, about domestic abuse after their divorce. She didn't at this time outright name him, but she accused him of domestic abuse before that. And he tried, and his team tried to have it removed for libel. And they're like, no, there's like legitimacy to this. Anyways, he was talking about the cancel culture. And I'm like, you know, just you really, if you beat your wife and then you want to talk about how anyone could be canceled, I understand where you're coming from, but supposedly there was legitimacy to this accusation. Again, it is still hearsay, but I think the libel case or whatever it was, what slander was thrown out because of that. So we're not just talking about a little bit of gossip in that instance. But here's the deal. Katie Imhoff even just commented on Instagram during the show how she's experienced a cancel culture for being pro-life, her own family. And she talked about the fear for her family, fear for their souls and where they're at, their own place. Maybe you are so overwhelmed by the cancel culture from two perspectives. You're sorrowful for family members who are friends who are doing this to you. And then on the other perspective, you're afraid to even speak. You're afraid to have an opinion on anything. You're afraid to say, I'm praying for you. Just offering thoughts now, right? Feel good thoughts. Warm hugs. Offering warm hugs. I know, please don't offer me warm hugs. That's just creepy. I would much prefer your prayers, okay? We are at the point of implosion over the cancel culture. And I'm talking about this during our weekly happy hour. Because so many of us have hit a wall. Either we're so sick of it, we don't give a darn, and we're willing to post and say anything to the point of lacking prudence and being offensive. And on the other end of implosion, we are silently turning in on ourselves, curling up, shutting down out of fear of not just who will cancel us, but who will say anything negative about us. That's how afraid we are. We've allowed the cancel culture to dictate the rules of society. The rules about sharing our faith. Forget about evangelization tactics. Forget about apologetics. We are engaging in apologetics, and it's called the apologetics of fear, silence, or I'll say whatever you want, just tell me. Sign me up. Do you know those people? Oh, we're pro-LGBTQ today? Okay, I'm there. Oh, we're not going to pray today? That's fine. I'll kind of like just silently say the prayer to myself. I won't even scratch my head pretending I'm making the sign of the cross. I will do whatever you want. We have hit a point where we're literally allowing fight or flight status, fight or flight hormones to flood, or not hormones, chemicals to flood our body. In one direction or the other, I don't care, I'll say whatever, no matter how offensive it is, or I won't say anything, or I'll just comply. But here's something fascinating. Have you thought about this? I was asked this question this morning. Is the cancel culture something new? No. Not at all. What happened to Jesus Christ? Think about every story we hear over and over again. Throughout sacred scripture, where Jesus Christ is encountering a crowd, or has just encountered a crowd, and he's being accused by the Pharisees of blaspheming, being accused, them trying to catch him up. The Pharisees wanted to cancel Christ. They tried to stone him. They tried to throw him over a cliff. The cancel culture is nothing new. And guess what? Jesus Christ was canceled. It's called scourging at the pillar. It's called the crowning of thorns. It's called the shameful and humiliating carrying of his cross to Calvary. It's then called being stripped naked. By the way, those icons of Jesus are to help us, because he was literally naked on that cross, an all-humiliating act after having been beaten, slaughtered front, back, and side, head to toe, with a crown of thorns pierced into his head. And then he hung on the cross, nails through his hands and his feet, with his limp body yanking upon the nails on the cross. Jesus Christ was canceled. The cancel culture is not new. Yes, Katie Howe just commented on Instagram, if they hate you, it's because they hated me first. That's how we can endure this culture, to understand that Jesus is not asking us to do anything that he himself didn't do. He's not asking us to go anywhere that he didn't go. Think about the early church. The early church was also canceled. 11 of the 12 apostles, guess what, were martyred, killed a bloody death. They were canceled for living according to the life Jesus Christ had prescribed of living out their Catholic faith. It wasn't just the first apostles. It was also all throughout the early church. The first 3 centuries are an incredibly bloody handful of centuries. Saint martyr after saint martyr, bishop martyr, pope martyr. Yes, all of the martyrs, all of the martyr virgins who would not succumb to the demands to reject Christ. And if you look through all of salvation history, all of the saints, many of our saints themselves in the tradition of the church were martyrs. They were canceled. And they still endured. They chose Jesus Christ, even in the face of bodily harm, even in the face of losing their closest friends. Jesus was even abandoned by the apostles on the cross. They were afraid of the cancel culture. The apostles themselves were terrified of the cancel culture. Why? Only John, of all the apostles, was at the foot of the cross with Jesus Christ, because they were afraid of the culture. It's temptation. So don't turn in on yourself. Don't be afraid. This is our weekly happy hour, and I think that we're talking about the cancel culture because it's getting in the way of conversations with friends, family members, social media, even what we do when we're at our own churches. When heretical things are being taught. So what do we need? How can we combat the cancel culture? We need the life of virtue within us. This is why we just wrapped up a virtue series, which, by the way, the last of the 4 podcasts summarizing our virtue series will be posted tomorrow on our podcast. You can find that at relevantradio.com/trending, where you can subscribe wherever you like to listen to podcasts, but especially the Relevant Radio app. Now, we went through prudence, living out prudence in what we say, what we do. How do we live out prudent decisions? By coming to discover and take counsel. than to judge what we've learned and then to act rightly, prudentially. Justice, giving to others what is their due, being temperate, making sure our passions fall under reason, and that we're being charitable with our actions, and fortitude, acting in the face of difficulties and fear. We need these virtues. This is why we just wrapped up that virtue series. I hope you take it seriously. I hope you listen. If you didn't listen, we've got them all compiled. The last of them, fortitude, will be posted on the podcast tomorrow, where you can listen at relevantradio.com/trending. And just wrapping up our weekly happy hour here on Monday, if there's something you want to hear discussed, I'd love to talk about it during our happy hour. But let's just ponder the fact that we have a choice to make. We have our comfort, our desires, and our passions, this turning in on ourselves that we could choose, or we can choose the life of Christ within us, turn to the cross, turn to the glory of the saints, the union of the saints with Christ in heaven. And guess what? You and I have that opportunity now. This is the joy of the Eucharist. This is living in a state of grace today. Go running to confession. Reject your sin. Confess your sin. Make a battle plan. And continue to receive our Lord worthily, body, blood, soul, and divinity. This is what will make you happier, but not just fleeting happiness, but true joy. And that's a virtue. I heard a story the other day that really made me think about parent shaming. What are your thoughts? This is Timmy from Trending with Timmy, and I'm not saying we should shame parents, but what I'm saying is a lot of people get really defensive when they feel as if someone's disagreeing with their parenting method. Tuesday, I'll also discuss missing person story and alleged murder of Gabby Petito. Why is the nation riveted by this, and what can we learn based on this van life story? Join me daily at 6 p.m. Central on Relevant Radio or the Relevant Radio app.